Welcome to another edition of In Focus. My name is Bob Perot, and I'm very pleased to have with me today members of an incredible organization that has just really taken off in the past few weeks here. We all know about the war in Ukraine and the Russian invasion. We're going to be speaking to a couple today from Carleton Place, Mary Makrushna and Zach Nethery, who are working to get war refugees into Lanark County, into Carleton Place. They have a family bind here that we're going to talk about in just a moment. They've also got help from CareBridge, of course, well known to our listeners, and Jeff Mills will be joining us from there. But we're going to start off with Mary Makrushna and Zach Nethery, the couple behind all of this. Mary and Zach, welcome to Lake 88.
Hello.
Hello, thank you.
Let's start from the beginning. I know that your story has been put out there in the public quite a few times. We talked about it, I think it was just last week as well, but let's first tell us a little bit about the attachment to the Ukraine, or to Ukraine.
When the whole thing started, Mary is Ukrainian. I'm sure her last name gave that away. But her mom and her siblings were in Ukraine, and we were really hoping that we could kind of get them out, bring them west, and be able to find some sort of refuge for them. But unfortunately, Russia hit the city that they were in before they could get away. But during that whole process, we were trying to think of what we could do, how could we help them? And our conclusion was, let's get them here somehow. Let's put them up. Let's try and do what we can there. But that had logistical issues that we were trying to understand. So while speaking to that with my parents, my mom actually went to the Living in Carleton Place page and made a post saying, hey, does anyone have any extra bed sheets and a couple extra dollars that you could send over them to help them support, you know, an entirely new family that's going to be moving in with them? And that post kind of blew up and it got a lot of traction. And when we got all that traction, we realized that we had a lot more stuff than we needed. We had a lot more, donations, to the point where our entire living room and front foyer area and staircase was all just full of things. And we sorted out the stuff that would be good for her family. And, but then we realized, you know, we had enough for families. And we had another family in Canada come forward and say, you know, if you've got a lot of extra stuff, we've got some room if there can be another family. And we had Brian Kauk from the St. James Anglican Church say, you know, you can't have all the stuff in your house. We're going to need to find a place for that. We're going to need to, get that out of your house and find a way to disseminate to the people that would be coming. And then that's when CareBridge stepped up and said, you know, and we can help you with legitimacy behind it and a charity number so that we could field donations at that point. So that that was sort of the beginning of it. That was probably the first 7 days of the whole thing. Like, it was a very, 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 very fast, very, very quick thing that happened in the beginning.
Jeff, you know this very well from working in the community. Lanark County really comes together. And when it comes to charitable endeavors like this, it's not a matter of one organization trying to push through. Oftentimes you get this umbrella effect where different groups are coming in to lend assistance. In your case, you're providing financial infrastructure, among other things.
Yeah, it's certainly the thing that we can do as a social service agency. And, you know, when this thing all happened with the war, people around the world kind of looked at themselves to what they could do. And it goes through individuals and grassroots to agencies like ours, to government. And we just stepped up right away. I got two calls, one from Barb Purdy and then one from Linda Sekaspina, saying, could you help? And we said, sure, we can act pretty quickly and get that set up.
Mary, how long have you been in Carleton Place? How long have you been in Canada?
I moved here almost 4 years ago. I came here as a student. And for 2 years, a year and a half, I lived in Brockville. And then I met Zach and moved to Carleton Place. And then the pandemic started. So I've been living here through the entire pandemic. So I never really got to know a lot of people from Carleton Place. And I didn't expect a little community like this being such big-hearted, you know?
It's actually pretty funny about that, actually. As of yesterday, she actually got her permanent residence and today's her birthday.
Oh, well, yeah. Wow. Well, happy birthday. Happy birthday to you, Mary. That is, wow, that's incredible that all happened. What a birthday gift.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm hoping that another birthday gift will be the approval for the visas for my siblings, because they're still waiting since March 6th.
Well, that was my next question. What is the latest on your family? Because it's nice to, you know, to think about all the positives that are going on, but you folks have got an incredible effort underway here. So what is the latest?
They're now in Warsaw waiting for their visas. And to be honest, it's kind of a little frustrating because we are doing so much for other people, and and the first people that we submitted everything for and got everything ready for, they're still waiting. And and it's just part of the procedure, and people are in queue, and there's a lot of other people that need to get those papers too. And I think that's why it takes so long.
Have you get to speak to them on a regular basis or communicate with them somehow?
Yeah, for sure. They do have access to the internet, and where they're staying. They're staying at their friend's house, so they have access to everything they need. I know that my siblings even started learning how to swim like professionally in the pool. So they're trying to, you know, try and live their normal life while they're waiting. And yeah.
So as they're out and now waiting to make that trip over to Canada, you continue, both of you, Jeff and these volunteers and Leonard, to try to help people who are not as fortunate. What was it that, you talked about this a little bit, Zach, when you were talking about, you know, you have this extra stuff, let's use it. But then motivation grows, that really comes along with education and learning what's going on over there, doesn't it?
Yeah. We had to do a lot of understanding, having to do, you know, her own journey to get to Canada, as well as submitting her own work permit, then us doing her own permanent residence, gave us a lot of experience to understand of how this process works. So when the new visas came out, it was kind of easier for us to pick up the information, as well as know where to look, who to talk to, and figure out this information, because we had to do it personally. A lot of the stuff is pretty personal to us in terms of it being her family, as well as just the process of knowing what to do that we've already had to go through. So we had to do that. And as you were saying, you know, we brought in a lot of stuff to help people. But even now, you know, Brian at the St. James Anglican Church is saying, you know, in terms of stuff, we're pretty good. But what we realize is that a lot of these people who need help, they can get a visa and they can, you know, do all that kind of stuff. But their biggest problems are when they land, they have nowhere to go and they don't have a way to get here. So near the top, when you first brought up the conversation, you refer to them as Ukrainian refugees. But it's pretty it's good to clear up that they actually aren't refugees. They have no refugee status. So what we're aiming to do with our sort of system and with our newly formed not-for-profit is basically recreate the refugee system using, you know, grassroots connections and other organizations partnering with us to basically recreate that system, because when they land, they have nothing from the federal government and there is zero assistance. So we're trying to do that.
Mary, do you want your family, and does your family want to stay in Canada long term?
I'm trying to tell them that they should. I'm really hoping that they will. And, you know, working with different families and talking to different people, they all have very similar feelings about coming here, because they're leaving everything behind. When I was coming to Canada, I was getting ready for like a year, you know, and coming here and if in 2 weeks and a month, it's not enough to just mentally be prepared for that. And my mom is freaking out sometimes, and my mom is doubting sometimes, but and a lot of people have the same thing. And part of what we do as well is just, you know, talking to them, and some kind of mental support that we give them is also, you know, the reassurance that everything is going to be okay, that this is also part of what we do, just by proxy.
Yeah, for sure. I want to ask you a couple of questions here, and again, only answer what you're comfortable in answering, because you know, I do the news here every day, we watch the news. We know what is going on over there based on trusted news sources. What is it like for you, being someone from Ukraine, sitting back here, watching what is happening in your home country, and also getting those firsthand accounts from people on the ground, your friends, your family. Again, just tell us what you're comfortable with, but what has it been like? Because we don't have that experience here in Canada.
Right. Yeah. You know, it's well, the first thing is that I'm very far from it. And that also creates an additional feeling of just kind of guilt, you know, that you're so far away and you can't really help. But the thing is that when things get personal, it definitely brings up a lot of like a bouquet of emotions, I would say, because if it happens, like if war happens somewhere else, you feel for those people and you're like, yeah, that's really bad and that's horrible. But when you see the pictures of places that you'll used to visit and you know those places and you know that, I don't know, 2 years ago, I went there and I went there with my family and there was this festivities for Christmas, you know, now it's just getting bombed. Like it's at first you cannot comprehend that. It feels like it's some kind of a movie or something temporary. And for the first week, it was very surreal and weird. And then later on, you kind of like, okay, this is happening. And it almost like, I felt very angry, to be honest. The anger was something that was overtaking me. And it was hard to balance that out because yeah, you love all those places, but the anger that comes with like, they're just bombing it. Like, how do you not hate everything? How do you not hate everyone, you know, who does that? And yeah, it was hard to deal with. And it was very hard to watch the news. And of course, and then there's people that I still know back in Ukraine and there are stories from them. And, you know, you would ask, hello, how are you? And they were like, okay, we woke up at 4 a.m. and there are sirens, you know, and so on and so on. And then there is a girl that is actually coming here with her brother. And she is saying, she posted a couple of days ago that Mykolaiv was bombed and actually a couple of people that she worked with died. And that is insane. That is where it gets extremely hard, because when someone you know gets wounded or killed or somehow, you know, affected by this war, that's where it gets really emotional and really hard. And that's where you get super angry. Yeah, and that's kind of how we live. And a lot of people are hoping that it's going to be over soon, but being so far also helps to see that from like a third party perspective almost. And you see that we really have to bring them here. It's not going to be over, or it's going to be over, let's say, but there's going to be a rebuilding recovery period that it's not going to be safe. It's not going to be stable, you know?
The way that
go on.
I was just going to say, the way that you described that, I think in parallel with what a lot of people have gone through over the course of the pandemic, they're watching it from afar. And then you hear of someone who is directly affected. You hear of someone who has died or has lost a parent. And like you said, it then becomes real to you. Right. Obviously they're very different situations, but there are parallels there. Now, Zach, I did not mean to cut you off, but please, I'd like you to add.
No, I was just going to say, so for me, it's also a bit strange because like, I'm not from Ukraine, but I've been there, you know, with her and her family and things like that. And it's very strange for me to like, I could bring up a picture of Mary and I who were standing in front of like some beautiful architecture. And then I see almost the exact same frame shot, but with smoke in the background and glass and destruction on the ground. And it's very strange to me. You know, in my brain, I just try and say like, you know, what if we went to, you know, the CN Tower on a vacation, but it was on fire and I can kind of, you know, empathize with the situation in a way that, you know, I didn't grow up there, but I have been there. And those are those things. And that's, you know, that it is still like surreal. And I think because I don't know people there and I don't have that direct connection, it will just always feel surreal. And I don't know if unless I physically go back there and see that, then I'm going to be able to really fully comprehend that, because it is just crazy. It is almost like ununderstandable in terms of just like logical destruction. You know, a lot of people also don't really understand how much damage is there. And how, like as Mary said, if the war ended tomorrow, there are people who wouldn't have homes still for years. And that's just the reality that we're in. And that's why when we sort of formed ourselves as an organization, we specifically formed it in a way that we know that this support is not going to be for the summer. And that we are here for the long haul. This is going to be a years long effort. And we are prepared for that.
And we're going to get back to that organization in just one second. Just one very last quick question for you, Mary. What part of the country are you from?
I'm from the city of Cherkasy. It's like 250,000 people population, city south from Kyiv. And it's like 180 kilometers from it. It's right on the river, right like the middle part of Ukraine. And fortunately, that place is actually pretty calm compared to a lot of other places.
Yeah, it sounds like, though, that being that close to Kyiv, you would have been in Kyiv many times.
Yeah, and there's a port as well, the river port, that a lot of boats come from it, come through it, a lot of ships. And I'm surprised that they didn't take it, because there's also an airport that actually, that's what they bombed. That Zach mentioned that they did hit the my hometown, which that's what they hit. They had the airport and I think another structure. And we also had a military, the border security training place beside Cherkasy. It's like a little tiny town, like 40 minutes or 30 minutes away. And they also hit that. And my dad actually went there for training at some point, because my dad went to ATO, the operation in the Eastern Ukraine, back in 2014. Yeah.
Jeff, it's a little different listening to Mary talk about this than watching it on TV or listening to it on the radio, isn't it?
Certainly makes it very real. And I know there are quite a few Ukrainian Canadians, and we all know someone. And when we talk to those people, you ask them how they're doing. I have a friend here in Elmont, George, who's a great, great friend, and he's trying to get cousins out, and similar stories about what they're going through. So it's affecting everyone across the world. It's just a horrible, horrible state of affairs.
Like Zach said, you know, imagine living somewhere else and seeing pictures of the CN Tower in ruins, Parliament Hill or whatever, you know, some Canadian landmarks, you know.
For sure.
Yeah. So obviously you want to make a difference. And like Zach said as well, a long-term difference. This is something that you are not just hanging your hat on until Mary's family gets here. You said it yourself. You want to change the system. You want to make sure that this doesn't happen again, that if it does, that people will have the support when they come in. That's commendable, sir.
Thank you.
It absolutely is. What steps do you take to, I mean, it seems like a huge undertaking, but yet here you are, you're already in the midst of it.
Yeah, we're doing our best. We kind of were basically just looking at, you know, again, some of the stuff is we looked at, like, you know, the refugee status, or we looked at the original requirements for, you know, the previous visa. And we basically just done our very, very best to just recreate a lot of the things that should be given to them, but are not. So we're not really necessarily reinventing the wheel. We're just giving them a wheel because nobody else is.
Yeah.
Mary, anything you'd like to add to that?
I can say that the refugee status is something that people usually think that Ukrainians get. And I can assure you that that's not the case. In the very beginning, we called several times the government hotline, where they said that there is no special program for Ukrainians. But what they do give, which I think is a good thing, is the work permit right away, along with the travel authorization, which will allow them to work and let their kids go to school for free right away. Which is something that we should always say to people, because they're coming here feeling like they're at risk. They don't know what to do. But actually, with that legal status in Canada and what we are doing, they actually may be able to start their life here with probably no problems, because it's just going to be like any other life anywhere else. You have to find a job, you have to, you know, set up your life in general, you know.
And Mary's already walked through those steps and is sort of a show in that, like, you know, that it is a possibility to do that. And, you know, again, with our experience, just, you know, personal experience, we're going to use all the tools that we used for Mary to get her up and running and just, you know, apply that across as much as we can and try and do our best to get them up on their feet.
And your refugee status doesn't let you go back to Ukraine. And if there's like a woman with kids and she has her husband back in Ukraine and she wants to come back, she cannot if she has a refugee status. So, and there's some moments where that actually is worse, I would say, you know, to get a refugee status. So that will allow them to come back if they can't build their life here, or
they just have a business in Ukraine and what they need to do is they need to go back and shutter their business and sell their house and then come back to Canada. It'll allow them to be able to facilitate those needs if they choose to stay.
The scope of it is just so huge. And that's often the way people look at things, Jeff, when they're looking at it from the outside. It's not until you start doing things. You get brought in. Maybe you can give us sort of broad strokes, Jeff, how things are looking now across the county, where we're seeing activity, and how people can begin to help if they would like.
For sure. When CareBridge was brought in, we were asked to help a group called Ukrainian Support Carleton Place. And I convinced Zach and Mary that this is our geography for CareBridge is really Lanark County. So we expanded to that and quickly engaged some of the players across the county. We had a Zoom call with Sean Panko, who also has a connection to Ukraine and to Poland. So, and he's awesome guy. I work with him on things. I called John Fennick in Perth, who's not just the mayor of Perth, but the warden of the county. And John's suggestion was, we need a round table. We need to bring these groups together, because there's one that started a few weeks ago in Elmont as well. So we had a meeting last night, and it was great because we got to share Zach and Mary's experience. They were out of the gate, like right off the bat. Other groups are coming along. And it was really good to have that sharing. And, lots of stuff was put on the table. CareBridge has to be careful of its charitable status and how we dispense of the funds. So we're talking our way through that. We've got, you know, CRA regulations that we have to protect our charitable status and how we do our business. So we're working on these things. There's now stuff happening across the county. Carleton Place is amazing. They've got all kinds of supports in place, all kinds of fundraisers in place. In Mississippi Mills, there's a big concert on May 1st at the Old Town Hall. And we can get information out about that. But so lots is happening. They're starting to process some people as well. Wendy Alford from Smith Falls is working with a counselor from Smith Falls is working with a group there. It's really, really rolled out from that central hub in Carleton Place.
Now, Zach, if people want to get more information, unfortunately, our time is almost up here, but if people would like to get more information, you've got a whole number of different ways that they can do that online, right?
Basically if they search UADSC on basically anywhere, they'll be able to find us there. It's the Ukrainian Diaspora Support Canada. It's our registered not-for-profit. And it's that's basically where you can find us. And then UADSC.org is our website.
And we're going to have a link to that as well as your Facebook page. You're on all social, of course, but we'll have a link to that along with this interview up on our webpage as well, lanarkleadstoday.ca. To make that a little bit easier with people. Was there anything else that you wanted to leave our listeners with today? Any one of the three of you before I let you go?
I think something we can look at is let people know that we have had people settle and land here, and that the people have had a very positive experience, and that if somebody was contemplating about opening their homes or building a Ukrainian family, to let them know that we have got, you know, safeguards in place and processes in place that make sure that it will be, you know, a pleasant process, And right now that is one of the ways that they can step up and help us bring these families in and help them.
They can open their homes if they have a room where they can take people in. Who do they contact about that? What's the best way to get that ball rolling?
They can go to our Facebook page or our website, and we have intake forms that we're using to create a database of those people before we do our matchmaking process. But the intakes form is how we get them on our sort of master list.
Jeff, an incredible, generous community. Do you think that we'll have any problem finding spots for these people?
It all depends on the sheer volume. There's, you know, there's over 3 million people that have left Ukraine. So hopefully we can do what we can do here. We're incredibly in Lanark County. People donate and they care, and they're people are doing all kinds of stuff. I got a call yesterday from a teacher at Beckwith School. What happened early on, Pakenham Public School did a fundraiser with the students, and I forget exactly how much they raised, and issued a challenge to the other schools in Lanark. Beckwith Public School, they called me, and they raised 20 students, not teachers, students raised $2,416.82 in a fundraiser, and they're bringing the money over today. So yeah, I think we can do this. Couple of quick ones. If people are interested in the concert on May 1st, go to the Facebook page in Elmont. It's called Mississippi Mills for Ukraine. There's an email, which is mm4ukraine@gmail.com. If people want to donate, they can donate at carebridge.ca and follow the links. And the other thing is, we are looking for an impartial panel of three quickly. So if you can get the word out through Lanark of people that want to help with the vetting process for the dispersal of funds that we've raised. So we've got, I had a call from Fraser Scantlebury, formerly of the United Way, who now lives in Oakville. He's wanting to sit on that panel, and he's a great community builder and impartial person. So
even from afar, Fraser getting involved.
The word is out across the Twitter sphere. People know what's going on in Lanark, and it's really great. They want to help. So
awesome. I want to thank all of you for taking the time to speak with me today, and you're welcome back anytime. If we need to come back and do an update, please, you're invited back. We'd love to speak with you again, especially if needs grow. Please don't hesitate to get in touch with me. We'll get the word out on anything that you have going on. Again, thank you so much for being here. You're a beautiful couple for what you're doing, and it's just awesome to speak with you and to meet you, even if it's virtually. I'm going to remember the words, a surreal bouquet of emotions, for a while.
It's funny because I work as a florist, so.
Oh, well, there you go.
Yeah.
There you go. But that has really stuck with me, and I hope it does with our listeners as well, as we try to even imagine what it must be like for people like you, Mary. Again, thank you all for being here today. All the links will be posted up on our webpage, Lanark Leads Today, with this interview as well, in case you want to listen to some of the specifics in here again. So thank you all.
Thank you.
Thank you, Bob.
Our guests today on In Focus, Mary McKrushna and Zach Nethery of Carlton Place, Jeff Mills joining us as well, talking about their efforts to bring those displaced by the Ukrainian war to Lanark County, to our communities here. Again, all the links to their websites and so on can be found at lanarkleadstoday.ca. I'm Bob Perreault. Thanks so much for listening. Have a wonderful afternoon.